Thank you, Gary. Appreciate that so much. Good to see you today. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you have your Bibles, would you open with me, please, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Luke, chapter 22. We're finished at 12 o'clock, are we? That's the most important thing in some places. I don't want to mess that up. 12 o'clock, all right. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. And he, I'm sorry, verse 56, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with them. He is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the way it ministers to us. And we pray that it would speak to each one here, ministering grace to the hearer. We pray, dear Lord, that it would challenge, if necessary, convict, edify, lift up, and point us to him who is worthy of our praise and our worship. And I pray that if there is someone here this morning who is not born again, even though here, that they might see it, and that they might trust Christ as their own personal Savior. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen. This morning, I'd like to speak to you about God's rooster. God's rooster. In verse 31 of the same chapter, we see Peter again, and the Lord is ministering to him, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. He said, I tell thee, Peter, cock shall crow this day, shall not crow this day, but thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. You see, Peter's faith didn't fail, his courage did. And on this particular morning, a rooster preached one of the most important sermons Simon Peter ever heard. I still remember some sermons that God used to minister to me and to my greatest need. I'm sure that you remember some as well that were milestones in your spiritual experience, that God just got a hold of you and spoke to you and ministered to you. Well, here we see a rooster preaching this morning, and the message changed Peter's life. When the morning dawned and the sun broke the horizon and lifted up its head to crow, it crowed with an eloquence equal to that of any John Knox or George Whitfield or John Wesley. The rooster had never been to seminary or to Bible college, but his message was loud and clear And most importantly, it woke Peter up. And so sometimes God uses a sermon to wake us up. And perhaps this little simple sermon this morning, perhaps the simple text of this message will be God's alarm clock for someone today. I know some things about this message. I know that it was a moving message. In verse 62, the Bible says, "And Peter went out and wept bitterly." It was moving. Now here we see the ministry of the Word of God in the lives of people. As I've seen the ministry of the Word of God in my own life, I've seen by my experience, as in the experience of others, as what is underscored in the teaching of the Word of God itself, that God uses His Word to work in our lives. I believe that in every church, every assembly, every ministry, where people think there is a leadership problem, there's not a leadership problem, there's a servantship problem. Why do you say that? People don't know what a servant is and that we are supposed to be servants. And they say, well, why is there a servant problem? There's a servant problem because there is a heart problem. And so it's not a leadership problem, it's a servant problem, which is really a heart problem. Well, how do you have a heart problem? Well, it's not a servant problem, it's a heart problem, and it's every heart problem is a faith problem. Not leadership. That's not the problem. The problem's not leadership. It's a servant problem, which is a heart problem, which is a faith problem. How do you fix that? There's only one way, the way God always does it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how God worked in my life. That's how God works in your life. He takes His Word, and He speaks to us, and He makes us what He wants us to be through His Word. Why am I saying all that? I didn't hear the original sermon, but I'm told here by the Word of God that it affected Peter dramatically, so much so that he went out and wept bitterly. Most sermons aim for people's heads instead of their hearts, and nothing ever happens. And so God's Word is to be working in my heart and in your heart, if we let it. The tragedy of tragedies is when we open up God's Word and we look at it, we put it all in our head. And we go out unchanged because it never touched our heart. But if the Word of God would touch my heart, that's where God will work. And so, God aims for our hearts. God aims for our hearts. In Psalm 38 and verse 2, the psalmist said, "Thine arrows stick fast in my heart." Thine arrows stick fast in my heart. The unfortunate thing is that we preachers are such poor shots that everybody walks out untouched. No one is scratched. This word is aimed for that one, but misses, and this one is for that one, and then misses, and we're never touched. You didn't get your money for it. You're not touched. Not the preacher, not the deacon, but it's me, Lord. And that should be my attitude every time I open up this book. Every great work, whether it is a an orphanage in Bristol, England, or if it's a Bible college in Minnesota, or if it's an assembly in Myrtle Beach. Every great work begins in the same place, in somebody's heart. That's where God works. That's where God works. He delights to work in the hearts of men and women. And as I read how God opened up Europe, you remember the story of how Paul was praying about where to go, and the Holy Spirit kept closing the door, and finally he ended up in Troas, and there, in the midst of a vision, he hears the will of God through what we commonly call the Macedonian call. Come over and help us. You remember? He was seeking God's will. And God didn't let him down. He revealed to him where he was to go, and finally he set out for Macedonia, and you remember the very first person he met was a woman named Lydia, seller of purple. She was down where prayer was wont to be made, and he spoke to her of Christ, and the Bible says that she opened her heart. Look at it sometimes. She opened her heart. That's the way God opened Europe. Found one woman's heart. And that's the beachhead for the invasion of the Almighty. Wonderful thing is that after Paul opened his mouth and God opened her heart, she opened her home. They didn't have a cathedral. They didn't have a spire on top of some building. They didn't have some beautiful facility. Lydia opened up her home. I'm glad she did. And then God did the rest. He opened up Europe. And many of you with a European extraction like me should thank God for the day that Lydia opened her heart and let the Word of God do a work. And she told someone else, and they told someone else, who told someone else, who told someone else, who told someone else, who told you. Where did it all begin? It began when a woman opened up her heart. Well, that's really another lesson. But there I see in verse 62 that Peter went out and wept bitterly. If you go out of here, I don't want you to go out here and weep bitterly unless God has made you do so. But he was moved. It was a moving message for Peter. And I think back in my own spiritual life, the times when God has moved my heart. It might be moved to give. It might be moved to live. But moved. But we're hard-headed and hard-hearted, and you go out and nothing's different. Well, it was a moving message. He went out and he wept bitterly. Somebody told me that a good sermon has 3 points. I never took a class on preaching. I've been to seminary. I don't know how I missed that. But I never did. Maybe a good sermon does have 3 points. I've heard some sermons that had 1 point. And God, with a single shot, hit the bullseye of my heart. I've heard some sermons that had no point. Man, they're the worst. And those I want to go out and weep bitterly. What's the point? You want to hear about my stories, my trips to Niagara Falls? Invite me out for a cup of coffee. I might tell you that someday. This pulpit is sacred. People need to hear God's word. No one's ever going to be converted by hearing about my trip to Niagara Falls
or who I sat next to on the airplane. That's not going to move anybody's heart, except maybe with jealousy. I wish I could sit next to Senator so-and-so. I wish I could go to these places. What are you saying? I'm saying that the most eloquent sermon that Peter ever heard could have been preached by a rooster. Changed his life. What do you mean? Number one. By the way, I don't know how many points is a good sermon, but I do know that Peter denied the Lord 3 times, and that is an outrageous outline. He denied the Lord 3 times for painful points, those were. Let's look at this little message the rooster preached that morning. I don't know the original. I took a little Greek in university and I know a little Hebrew. And sometimes that helps. Sometimes it helps. Sometimes I can look in the original and I can see something and from another point of view. Sometimes knowing the original helps. I have to agree. Not all. I don't know the original here. But if I was there, the original would be something like cock-a-doodle-doo. Number one, it woke Peter up to his denial. He was in denial. 3 times, the Bible said. 3 times. Verse 57. And he denied. Every sinner is in that very same bed, sound asleep, in denial. This sermon found Peter in denial. And the Bible says, you're a sinner. I said, no, I'm not. Well, you're in denial. You're in denial. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. You said, I don't believe it. Well, you're in denial. You're in denial. And that's where God finds every sinner. In denial. Oh, I'm not that bad. You don't know how bad it is. You're in denial. Every single one of us, at one time or another, we're right there. And most of the time when we don't do what God wants us to do, we're in the same place where Peter was. We're in denial. We come across a text and you say, I don't agree with that. God could come to you and say, you're denying my word. Oh, I don't believe that. That's not for me. That's for them. That's not for me. That's for her. That's not for me. That's for him. Sir, you're in denial. Just where Peter was. And I pray that some rooster wakes you up before it's too late. You're in denial. Oh, I'm a good person. My Bible says there's none good. No, not one. Well, I'm better. You are not. We're cut from the same cloth. We're all tracing our heritage back to the one Adam. And his first son was a murderer. Family tree has some pretty dark fruits hanging from it. Say otherwise is to be in denial. Every time we refuse to accept God's truth, we are in denial. And so when I open this book, occasionally God rolls out some great truth before me. And I need to accept it, stand on it, practice it, and live it. Or I'm in denial. The world needs to wake up. The country needs to wake up. They're in denial. And I don't want to belabor the point because we're running out of time, but isn't it so?
And that's the way every sinner is. And a lady that's on her way to a lady to a woman is changing the gender act. That's true. And the way to the abortion clinic. You're going to take the life of an innocent unborn. It's a tissue. Oh, it's a tissue. Madam, you are in denial. God says that life begins with conception. I will return to you, he said, to Sarah, at the time of life. And that was conception. Well, it'd be hard on one woman and not hard on the next, but the Bible says all sinners are the same. They're in denial. That thing you're doing, that's wrong. Oh, it's not wrong. It is so. Oh, you're in denial. You're in denial, and that's where sinners are found. A man going to that place that he shouldn't go. You know, the place he looks around to see if there's anybody he knows before he goes in, that place. He's in denial. That person who takes up that habit that he's warned about will destroy the very body he walks around and he says, not me. Well, sir, madam, miss, boy, girl, you're in denial. Well, that's where Peter was. Peter was in denial. And the job of the church, by the way, somebody who's living for this world and its temporal things, you can't take it with you. If you think that's what life is about, you're in denial. You are. The man who wins is not the one who has the most when it's over. The man who wins is the one who gave away the most and has the least. If you die and you have the most, you lost. That, oh, I would love to speak a sermon on that. If you could die penniless and have given your last dime to a beggar, you find out you're the one who won. You're the fellow that leaves all the money for your children to fight over. You're the one that lost. Oh, boy. Maybe one day they'll invite me back and I'll take up that one. But here, Peter is in denial. And the church and the job of the preacher is like that of the rooster. To wake up those that are asleep in their sins. Now they're preaching the truth. Now I know somebody might throw a shoe at the rooster. He's trying to sleep. But the church must lift its voice and crow to the sun. C-S-O-N, not the S-U-N. Second, it caused him to see who he was. It caused him to see who he was. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Verse 57. And they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled, and Peter followed him afar off, unto the high priest's palace, and went in. Now I said it would show him who he is. Well, let's look at it. And he went in with the servants to see the end, and the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. Yea, so many false witnesses came, yet they found none. Verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone unto the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath. I do not know. With an oath. An expletive. Deleted. He wouldn't want to repeat what he said in the presence of women and children. We're talking about a disciple, aren't we? We're talking about a follower of Jesus. And with an oath, I don't know what he said. I don't want to see the original on that one. It's enough for me to know. He cursed. Second thing that this crowing of the rooster did is it helped Peter see who he was. What do you mean? He thought he was better than that. He really did. When the Lord said, you're gonna deny me, he thought he was better than that. He said, Lord, everybody else might deny you. Everybody else might forsake you, but not me. And what did the word of God from that rooster do? It showed him who he was. Because as soon as he cursed the cock crew, and he went, whoa. Peter, I thought you were better than that. You know what the word of God does? It shows us what we are. Most of us come to the book, and if it speaks to us, we say, whoa, I thought I was better than that, and the truth is not. Human nature. Time ruined. I only got to the second point. No, we're not better than that. We're sinners of the worst stripe. Left our own devices. Not only would we mar, dirty, and destroy those things that God has given us, we'd go out into an eternal hell where people who reject God will ultimately go. And some of them will think, well, I was better than that. If we had only listened to what God said, we would be forewarned. The Bible shows us what we are. Peter thought he was better. And the rooster reminded him that he was not. Well, time's up. I'm so glad that he did wake up. And the word spoke to him. Turn again to Luke 22, please. Luke 22, verse 61, in conclusion. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Look at it. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. See, he wasn't the rooster after all. Not the preacher.
Well, I like this preacher, and I like that preacher.
This one has more colorful feathers. This one. No, it wasn't the rooster. Peter heard the rooster, and he remembered the word of the Lord. But when the word of God is preached, you do not remember the rooster. You remember what the Lord said. And you remember the word of the Lord. For him, it broke his heart. And after his heart was broken, then God would step in and say, now let me fix it, Peter. You can't live the Christian life in your own strength as strong as you are. You need me. And you know the rest of the story. Peter was the great preacher of Pentecost. He was restored. I just hope that some of us here might be challenged to wake up somehow. If God is speaking to us, that we would take it personally. And that we would go out and do the thing that God wants us to do in the power that He gives us to do it. In the power of His Word. Let's not be so concerned about the rooster. Let's just be faithful in proclaiming God's word and let God do the rest. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the way it works in our hearts and in our lives. And I pray that even those who gather in this assembly, faithful to your word, would be challenged once again and afresh to crow all the louder as the world around them is desperately lost, that someone might awaken before it's too late and come to faith in the Lord of the rooster. And Father, we would crow as we see the rising of the sun while it is day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good day, and God bless you all. Thank you.